Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get this party started, people.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
America. I get crushed over that one.
No, I made it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Got the NFL draft, people. We got the NFL, the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
Rob's trying to get it in. You don't know where he's at, but it's all good. Hey, happy 420 day, by the way, man. I figured I'd throw that in there for you guys, man. So especially for Rob. Anyway, we are officially talking sports with the 12 man because, I'm going to leave that joke right there. You're not going to rook us, America. You're not going to rook us, man. We are officially
getting this party started.
I am your host, Andre Jomo, my fellow co-host. Let's check in with them. This is number one, checking with Mr. JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good, man. Yeah, a day off here, so I'm chilled out. My man Mike, he walked away, though, so, but you know he's going to come back and say something crazy in a minute. But I'm good, man.
I was
going to
ask you, I didn't hear Mike. I was going to say I didn't hear Mike in the background, so I was going to check with you about that, too, man.
We got a little Green Bay Packer love tonight from Mike on the show.
Okay.
We're going to the game. We're going to the game. Cincinnati is a Green Bay September 24th, so we're going to the game. And we got a little side bet riding on it. So, yeah, that's going to be fun.
Okay. I'm already buying my tickets for the Monday night opener, the Saints at Minnesota.
There it is. Let's have some fun with that. And that other voice that you heard is obviously Rob before, T-Rob. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Doing fantastic. Ready to get this party started. We got a lot to talk about, fellas. Let's make it do what it do.
We got a lot, man. Yeah, let's jump into it, man, because obviously a lot of exciting news, man. The schedule was released, so maybe touch base about that. A lot of things to discuss, update, like Rob said, about the draft, sleepers. Let's jump into this. As always, let me throw out the numbers for you guys. If you want to reach out to us, your boys, the number to call in is always the 424-243-9519. That's that number. You want to reach out to us on Twitter, our tag is actually at the number 12, THMAN Sports, 12 Man Sports. And last but not least, go to Facebook, facebook.com/12ManSports, or if you type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will find us in that arena as well. Gentlemen, let's get this party started. Rob, let's kick it off with the NFL mock draft. What is this, mock draft number 50-something, bro? I don't know, man. You tell me.
All I can tell you is the second to the last, because the last one will be on next Wednesday night.
That's the best way to put it.
We're about
a week away.
We're a week away from the NFL draft, people, so obviously we're down to the stretch run here on our Talking Sports with 12 Man Facebook page. I have 3 rounds mock drafts already posted, so if you want to, obviously we won't be able to go pick by pick. But for those of you all listening who want to see those 3 rounds mock drafts, go to Talking Sports with the 12th Man Facebook page, and you will see the 3 rounds. Once again, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. And also like our Facebook page as well. We keep you posted on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, of what's happening in the sports world. I'll just give a few snippets from all 3 rounds here really quickly. No changes here at the top. Cleveland still taking Miles Garrett. San Francisco, Solomon Thomas, defensive end. Move Jamal Adams, safety from LSU, up to number 3 to Chicago. Marshawn Lattimore, cornerback, Ohio State to Jacksonville.
Okay.
Jonathan Allen, number 5 to Tennessee. Fournette to the Jets at 6. Malik Hooker to the Chargers at 7. Delvin Cook, number 8 to Carolina. Derek Barnett, defensive end, Tennessee, to the Bengals. Williams, wide receiver, Clemson, to Buffalo. O.J. Howard, tight end, Alabama, to the Saints. Reuben Foster, linebacker, Alabama, to Cleveland. And I'll just skip through a few bigger names here. Mitch Trubisky, quarterback, North Carolina, Arizona. Got to replace Carson Palmer. He probably will only play one more year. So you got to think quarterback right there. Christian McCaffrey teaming up with Andrew Luck in Indianapolis at 15. Deshaun Watson to the Redskins at 17. Obviously, there's still some question marks in regards to Kirk Cousins, if he's going to be back with the Redskins in another year. Tre'Davious White, cornerback, LSU, number 18. Patrick Mahomes, the gunslinger from Texas Tech, New York Giants. Obviously, they're starting to be concerned about Eli Manning and how many years he have left in the tank as well. Jabril Peppers, strong safety from Michigan. Ann Arbor, Jake Hughes' favorite place to visit. Have him on Houston, 25. 31, Falcons, Jordan Willis, outside linebacker, Kansas State. It's Green Bay. I got Mike in the background back there. I have Green Bay taking Malik McDowell, defensive tackle, Michigan State, from Green Bay.
Okay.
And Forrest Lamp, offensive guard, Western Kentucky, to the Saints at 32. So I'll get you guys feedback from the first round before we get to the second and the third.
Go ahead, Chicky.
You know I'm gonna start with. There's no way. Reuben Foster, and we're gonna talk about it later. But Reuben Foster with the drug test. There's no way he's not a Cincinnati Bengals number 9. Just stop it.
He failed the drug test on purpose, being, Rob, just so he could beat. So he can guarantee he's going to Cleveland, right? Right, JT?
Cincinnati, bro. Cincinnati.
I'm sorry.
He's going to Cincinnati.
I'm sorry. I was trying to be funny.
Yeah, I'm about down.
My bad.
I wonder if, and I mean, that could happen that way. I don't know. I've read a lot about Dalvin Cook falling, so that would, with the news that I've read about him falling, that would be a surprise if Cook went to the Panthers at 8. And I've been hearing a lot about how O'Brien loves Patrick Mahomes in Houston. I think Houston might feel like if they get to that area where they know Arizona's sitting there and he still might be there, they might pull the trigger and try to move up. But I know Rob is not projecting trades, but I think just from what I've heard, that's a fit that they're trying to keep under the radar so they don't have to pay too much to move up. But that wouldn't be a surprise move if they moved up in front of Arizona to go get Mahomes.
Yeah. I have Arizona taking Trubisky. I have Mahomes going 23 to the Giants. So they wouldn't have to go too high, according to this, if they were to go and get Mahomes. But yeah, I firmly believe now we're going to have 3 quarterbacks taken in the first round. And I think the Jets are still in play at number 6. And even the 49ers, to a certain extent, are still trying to do their homework as much as possible on all 3 of these quarterbacks. But right now I have them going 13, 17, and 23. But I firmly believe we'll have 3 quarterbacks going the first round, with it being Trubisky, Watson, and Patrick Mahomes.
Yep, I agree with that.
All right.
And just a few notes from the second round here really quick. Obi Melifonwu, strong safety, a guy who's climbing draft boards at UConn, having gone first pick in the second round to Cleveland. Charles Harris, defensive end, 36 to Chicago. T.J. Watt, obviously J.J. Watt's younger brother, having gone 37 to the Rams. Dory Jackson, versatile guy, cornerback, kick returner from USC, having gone 39 to the Jets. Tez Tabor, a guy who's ultra-talented, who's fallen off a little bit in a lot of the interviews, and so having gone in the second round, 40, to Carolina. Joe Mixon, running back, Oklahoma, having gone to the Bengals. Tyus Bowser, outside linebacker, defensive end, Houston, to the Saints at 42. Evan Engram, tight end, Ole Miss, to the Eagles at 43. Deshaun Kizer, another quarterback here, going to Buffalo, at 44. One of Andre's favorite players, Buda Baker, safety, Washington, have him going to the Colts. And I'll skip down here. Tim Williams, outside linebacker, another guy who's fell off a little bit in the draft from Alabama, have him going to the Giants at 55. Juju Smith-Schuster, wide receiver from USC to Oakland. Davis Webb, that's who I have Houston taking as a quarterback in this draft, from Cal at 57. Alvin Kamara, running back, Tennessee, 59 to Kansas City, to give Green Bay a little bit more love. Nico Saragusa, offensive guard, San Diego State, for Green Bay at 61. Rockwan McMillan, linebacker, Ohio State, 63 to Atlanta.
Man, listen, that Atlanta linebacking core would be crazy if they took McMillan with Campbell and Jones. They would be nuts. That would be the fastest linebacker core in the league. Like, I want Atlanta to do well, but I'm not over the top Atlanta fan. Like, you know, and I'm into it. I'm a Bengals fan, but I lived in Atlanta for 15, 16 years now. So I want to see them do well. If they get that linebacker core and you put McMillan in there with those two dudes, watch out. I'm just going to say watch out. They aren't the biggest dudes all the way around, so you might want to try to pound them. But those dudes will flat out be able to cover and rush the passer. Yeah, you don't, because if you put McMillan with you, you haven't taken McMillan. That was your pick. I'm saying, though, that linebacker
core. Well, I'm just, you know, doing my job.
I hear you. I'm just commenting on it. That's a nice young linebacker core for the Falcons. It's real nice.
And another guy I mentioned here, another quarterback, Nathan Peterman, quarterback from Pittsburgh. I actually have him going to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 62. And, Dre, you had any comments on the second round?
Like you said, man, I'm excited to hear JQ get excited, man. But, yeah, that's a pretty interesting pick, if you will. Like I said, there's got to be a guard or edge rusher in there somewhere. So I'm kind of curious as far as that. That's what we're looking at. I'm not quite sure.
Well, you guys taking Jordan Willis, edge rusher in the first round.
I'm still kind of, like I said, it's a good pick. I'm not dogging it at all. Like I said, I'm curious. Like I said, we keep hearing about guards. We keep hearing about, possibly getting that safety, like I said earlier. So, if Buddha's there, like I said, there's a lot of smoke screens happening right now. There's a couple things that we're looking at. So, again, not saying there's a bad pick, but I'm just hearing different things from all different sources too, man. So, like I said, good stuff. Finish your third round, and we'll wrap this up too. So go ahead, man.
Well, you want your offensive guard. I actually have the Falcons taking one at 95 in the third round, Isaac Asiata, offensive guard from Utah. A few other names from the third round. Desmond King, cornerback, safety, Iowa. This was a guy that was before the season that was expected to be a first-round pick. He's fallen off a bit. He's the first pick of the third round to the Cleveland Browns. Samaje Perine, running back, Oklahoma. Have him going to Jacksonville at 68. Duke Riley, linebacker, LSU, 74, Baltimore. Sidney Jones, another cornerback in this draft that was expected to be a first round. Obviously, injuries have set him back a little bit. Have him going 75 to Buffalo. Justin Evans, free safety from Texas A&M. Have him going to the Saints at 77. And Eddie Jackson, safety from Alabama. Have him going 82 to Denver. And let's see here.
What about Cincinnati?
Let me see the Green Bay and the Bengals. Give y'all a little love here, too. Have the Bengals.
Green Bay ain't by the ball. Say Green Bay ain't by the ball right now.
The Bengals, I have them going to your favorite city to visit, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Jordan Lewis, cornerback from Michigan, in the third round. And Green Bay, Pat Elflein, center from Ohio State. At number 93. And so those are just a few names from the third round.
Those are good picks that he's given to our teams, Dre. I will admit to it. Those are good picks.
Yeah.
Atlanta comes out with Jordan Willis and McMillan. And give me the third round again, the offensive guard from Utah. Yeah, those are three good picks. Those are good picks.
Yeah.
I was like, if Atlanta walks away from the first three rounds with that, Atlanta should be fist bumping in the draft room.
I mean, like I said, again, we're still – there's so many different things that we're thinking of. But like I said, I mean, I agree with that. There's got to be edge rusher. There's got to be guard. There's got to be either linebacker, either, safety.
Yeah,
something.
All
that's
three of those
hearing,
in this
but,
spot.
You know, yep. Yep. Like, it's not a knock. Like I said, it's just different names, but maybe, you know, like we're talking about different positions, little things like that too. So it's good. I'm still cracking up about JQ, man, how – he's just, like I said, we were talking about this earlier, JQ, but if this actually happens, we're going to be like, JQ! And we're going to, like, we got to, like, do some, like, some type of live something to text you, man, because, or something. Because looks like Reuben Foster's doing everything in his power to make sure that he becomes a Cincinnati Bengal to make things, you know,
yes, sir. Going
drug test. And it's just hilarious to me, man, because every straw, I'm like, man, this dude, it's just like, you know, and you know that somewhere Marvin Lewis is like, yes, you know, in the background. So,
yep.
You know. It's just hilarious to
me. I'm going to make sure he falls or not. Absolutely. He's going to be there, and they're going to take him. I'm telling you they're going to take him. I personally would, you know, Reuben Foster is a stud, and let's move on. But I personally, for me, I would take Corey Davis. And I know he's had some draft where he's been hurt and whatnot. Corey Davis was a machine for Western Michigan. You put him opposite of A.J. Green, and if they can keep Eifert healthy, that you got to give Andy Dalton weapons. And I would do that. But I can't be over the top, Max. Reuben Foster has got the tape. He's a stud. And we need a linebacker. And you know how Marvin Lewis is still always searching to find his next Ray Lewis. So if he feels like he can get that dude, he's going to take him.
And he's a versatile linebacker, too. He can do quite a bit. He can probably play any of the three linebackers position in any defense. And you can stand him up occasionally to rush the passer. You can put him in the middle. So, I mean, there's not much that he can't do. And it doesn't seem like NFL teams are knocking him down because of the drug test. Supposedly he got really sick at the combine and took some kind of medicine and caused him to fail the drug test. So, I know he this was reported. It's a, he had some kind of
– You don't believe that.
That's just what reported.
I don't believe
so. Basically, every visit he's taking to a team, he's telling them, test me, test me, test me. So it supposedly is, you know, help keep his draft grade up there in the top 15. So we'll see. We'll obviously have to find out. And but I tell you what, if the Bengals draft Reuben Foster and Joe Mixon, I don't know what I'm going to do during the NFL draft.
We're
going to
sit back and like, I'm telling you, you know what? Can't believe JQ called us.
I'm telling you, he can't test me because he knows he spoke weed like 93 days ago, so he'll be okay. But at the combine, he didn't know, and he had that stuff in his system that was masking it. I'm a firm believer that he's got a good story happening, but I don't believe that's what happened. What I just said is what I think happened. He can say now, test me, because he knows he's far enough removed away from it. But nah, bro, I don't believe.
Well, I actually have him taking Joe Mixon in the second round, so that wouldn't be that much of a surprise. And even a Foster wouldn't be that much of a surprise either. But you mentioned Corey Davis. You're right. He could be a stud. I am going 21 of the Detroit at the moment, Corey Davis. They could still use some help on the perimeter, still really haven't replaced Kelvin Johnson. Can you replace Kelvin Johnson in the first place? But he would be another nice weapon for the Lions if they're able to get him. They're at 21 where I have Corey Davis, wide receiver, Western Michigan, going.
Yeah.
All right. 424-243-9519 is the number. 424-243-9519 is the number. I like this next topic because we're going to talk about another quarterback. As much as we despise the love for Brett Favre, Pat Mahomes apparently has a little Brett Favre in him. And actually, this is one of my draft sleepers, guys. I was watching this sports science show. It's pretty interesting to see a lot about his intangibles and mechanics and whatnot too. So why do you think he's got a little Brett Favre in him, Rob?
Well, he's a gunslinger. He comes from that offense there in Texas Tech. He's a gunslinger. He's got a strong arm. He's probably definitely has the strongest arm of any quarterback in this draft. As far as velocity on the football, arm strength, as far as the distance of drawing the football, and he's a very good athlete as well. So he's got that gunslinger mentality, just like Brett Favre. Which can help you, and sometimes obviously it can hurt you. Because Brett Favre, we know, threw in the triple coverage more than any quarterback I've ever seen. And but he always has such, you know, the commentators always, he's got such great confidence in his arm. And as soon as another quarterback tried that, oh, what an idiot! But I'm not going to go into that a whole lot.
Brett Favre could have one arm tied behind his back and still make the throw. Heck, he can have both arms, and he can will the ball. Sorry, go ahead.
That's true. John Madden was one of those guys. But, yeah, he has that gunslinger mentality. And it's going to be interesting to see how some of these teams and the value in the quarterback process. I think we know who the top three quarterbacks are. I think every team has got them in a different order. Right now I have Trubisky, Watson, and then Mahomes. Another team, it could be totally flip-flop, but I think for the most part, every team has them three as the top three quarterbacks in this draft.
Your boy's got the Patriots going 16-0. That's your boy Heath Evans, man. That's my crack, man. Anyway, I'm going to carry on. JQ, your thoughts about Pat Mahomes? What do you think about he got a little Brett Favre in him?
And you know the thing, I'm not to belabor the points that Rob just made out. Those are actually very good points for Pat Mahomes. But there's another piece of it that is to this draft is there's part of the reason why Davis Webb can't rise higher than he can. And you know why? Because Pat Mahomes went to Texas Tech and took the job.
Yep.
And Davis Webb had to transfer to Cal. So that's
yep.
why Webb can't rise above Patrick Mahomes. And it's a story that's not really being reported a whole lot yet. But, you know, Rob, like you're saying, Rob knows about it because, you know, he's in deep into the draft and the teams. That's how good that dude is. He transferred there and took the job and made Davis Webb transfer to Cal. So Pat Mahomes is still a dude. Like, he's got all the arm strength. His accuracy is the problem right now. You know, he can do that, and he has that confidence because he knows he can just whip it. But his footwork is not really good right now. And he's going to need somebody that can help him shore that up. But if you get that good quarterback coaching, you shore up that footwork with the just physicality that he brings to the position, he is a definite sleeper. He may be one of your quarterbacks like Dak Prescott that you look back on and say, wow, we should have seen it coming, but we didn't. But this dude, he should have been number one quarterback taken. And there are a lot of teams kicking themselves now.
Absolutely. And there's one other comment that the Mahomes and Davis Webb. The one thing Mahomes is going to have to get is playing from under center in the National Football League. He's
yep.
not going to be in the shotgun every down in the NFL. So that's another thing he's going to have to master. And that's the one thing, actually, that Davis Webb benefited from by going to Cal, is that he actually played under center and he played in the shotgun. And so he's at least got that part of his game down, even more so than Mahomes has. Even though, as JQ mentioned, he got beat out by Mahomes and went to Cal, but he actually benefited from it as well.
Mm-hmm. It is. Good call. That's a great point to bring out too, JQ. We'll talk about some draft sleepers too, man, so I'm looking forward to hearing about that. We're going to definitely talk about a couple of things. We're going to jump into the draft needs here. So we're going to specifically talk about the Lions, Dolphins, Giants, Raiders, and Texans. So hopefully we got enough time to fill this out. So let's kick it off, Rob, with the Lions and give us your draft needs for the Lions. And try to keep it brief so we can get on other subjects too. So
I'll just
go
through.
Ahead.
I already mentioned Corey Davis. Wide receiver is definitely a need for the Lions. Linebacker help. They need another pass rusher. They need another corner. And Eric Ebron is, you know, having some health concerns. You could probably look for a tight end to give them some depth there as well.
Anything you added to that?
Agree on all those points. No, that's exactly what I'm pointing to.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about draft needs for the Dolphins, Rob.
When you talk about the Dolphins, obviously strong sign linebackers are a concern for them at the moment. And you need another pass rusher, too. Deion Jordan obviously turned out to be a bust. I have them taking Taco Charlton, defensive end from Michigan right now, in the first round. Interior offensive line help. They have some concerns there. And also the secondary, both the corner and the safety positions.
Well, yeah, I'm super, super Rob on that. I mean, honestly, like I know those things and what's happened this year, and every point he just touched on, I didn't know if he was going to get to the interior offensive line, but when he said it and then went secondary, I was like, well, yeah, just took my 2 points, so there you go, Joy.
You want to lead off on the Giants, JQ, or get back to the two, or Rob?
I can do the Giants. I think they still need a running back. I do. I know they draft the running backs, and I don't think Perkins is necessarily the guy. I'm not sold on him yet as well. That's another team that needs offensive line help. And I think they need offensive line help across the board. It's not just interior. It's exterior as well. They spent a lot of money on the defense, and the defense isn't bad. I think they need a linebacker as well. I think the secondary is pretty decent. The defensive line is good. They need a linebacker. The Giants are one of those teams that you look at them, they aren't really far away. You know, you get OBJ and you get Shepherd out there. And also for the Giants, I'd be remiss not to mention, they need a tight end. No more Shockley out here. Larry Donnell's not been the guy. Will Ty is serviceable, but he's really more of a blocking tight end, fullback hybrid kind of position. So I would say, you know, offensive line, tight end, and linebacker.
And Rob mentioned, I'm going to throw it to Rob in a quick second, but he also said, you know, Eli's not getting younger, so I think he did mention quarterback too. So, but go ahead, Rob. I think you're kind of giving us your needs for them too, for the Giants.
Yeah, absolutely. This is where I have Patrick Mahomes going, 23 to the Giants. But I also have offensive line as a need. I haven't taken Ethan Postick, offensive lineman for LSU, who's very versatile, could almost play any position on the offensive line as well. linebacker, as JQ mentioned, tight end. They need another pass rusher as well. And also running back. They don't have that bell cow back there. They don't have and running back may not be something they have to do in the first three rounds, but they need to get a running back in this particular draft. And also they need another defensive tackle to play next to Snacks.
Snacks.
Like it.
Nickname.
that is a Snacks. That is the best nickname for that, too. All right, so let's keep this going here, guys. All right. The Oakland Raiders. Hey, Rob, who's the backup quarterback for the Raiders?
That's a great question.
He went to
Michigan State.
Cook, if you want to check it. I was trying to say is that something that the Raiders are going to go after? But no, that was me just kind of being funny. But yeah, what do the Raiders need, Rob? Go ahead, man.
Well, you look at the Raiders, obviously there's some talk about them getting Marshawn Lynch, and they lost Latavius Murray. So running back is definitely a need position for them as well. They need some help at corner, and they need some help at the tight end position, defensive tackle, and middle linebacker. Right now in the first round, I haven't taken Zacharius McKinley, defensive end from UCLA. And also have them taking Juju Smith-Schuster, wide receiver from USC, in the second round. And so those are just some of the draft things I have set for the Raiders as well. But so we'll see what happens with the running back position. Is it something they're going to address in the draft, or is this Marshawn Lynch deal is going to go through, which it looked like it is?
We watch the same amount of football. That's what it is, all those same spots. I'm just laughing around for the California connections going to Oakland in his mock draft. But those are also good picks for positions of need that he just pointed out. That's what I was like. It's a good call. That's what they need. You're on the cusp.
Yeah.
You got a quarterback. So I got a chance.
Yeah, man. And like I said, if they get to Juju, that's going to be a pretty dynamic wide receiving core, man, because obviously you got Amari Cooper. You know, you obviously had said Michael Crabtree. I'd say he's like all that, but that's a really good call as far as that too, man. Like I said, we'll see what happens with them and getting Marshawn Lynch if that actually goes down, because if he's in shape, man, that's going to make the offense even more dynamic, man. So we'll keep an eye on them as well. Yep. Right.
You look at the way the NFL is going right now. You got to be able to put up a lot of points on the board, and you got to have just enough defense. And that just seems to be the way the NFL is going right now.
It's migrating. Let's wrap it up with go ahead. I'm sorry. Grab. I'm sorry.
In Oakland, you get Derek Carr. You add a Juju Smith. And you get a running back there. Offensively, they're almost set. They should be able to put up a lot of points. They already have a Khalil Mack. If they can have just enough defense, they'll be a contender out in the AFC.
Just enough.
Yep.
Let's wrap it up with the Texans, and I'm kind of curious. No, it's all good. You're having fun. Where they're going to go here. So, Rob, there's a big elephant in the room for the Texans. Go ahead, bro.
Well, obviously, quarterback is a big need. So whether or not they're going to be able to get one at 25, right now I haven't taken Davis Webb in the second round at 57. Obviously, A.J. Abouye. To Jacksonville, so that's a big blow to their cornerback position. So they're going to definitely need the cornerback. And they need some offensive tackle help. And Lamar Miller was solid for him, but they didn't have much depth behind him there. So I think they need some depth at the running back position. So that's probably a mid-round kind of thing you may want to start looking at. And also some help at the defensive tackle position.
Right, Jack.
Yeah, I'm laughing because I was going to say defensive tackle, and then he threw it in. Yeah, I was going to say defensive tackle, and then he threw it in at the end. Like, yeah. And again, it's just for America, so you know, I'm not looking at any notes. This is just from watching football the last couple of years with these teams. And Rob was absolutely right. All those spots is what Houston needs. And if you heard me talk about it, Houston is one of those teams that they can get consistent quarterback play with what they have around them. And on the offensive side, and they have a very stingy defense. Houston could be a very strong contender to that, you know, AFC crown to the Patriots. They just don't have proper quarterback play. If they figure that out, watch out.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good call. Like I said, it seems like Robbie hit it on the head, too. They definitely added some pieces to the offense. You know, but they got to get somebody to get the ball to those pieces. So that's a whole other conversation, too. So that,
absolutely,
that's a big elephant in the room, too. And then, you know, obviously Lamar Miller, like you said, has come in. That was a pretty great pickup for them. But, again, just didn't have enough to kind of get over the edge. And, JQ, you mentioned that defensively they're there. They did lose J.J. Watt. And you can only imagine if he was able to stay healthy, what the, you know, if they can help him out defensively. But still, they would have ran into a more challenging team that's going to make the quarterback play. So, yeah, good call. All right, gentlemen, it's really, literally at 11:30. We've got 15 more minutes to wrap up the show here. Let's talk about some draft sleepers. I want to start this off, if you don't mind, guys. And there's a couple of them that are out there, and this is interesting. I was watching, I don't know if you ever watched John Gruden's QB camp. It's pretty interesting to me. And they were watching. They had one with Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun Watson, there's certain things you can't coach, and certain things, you know, we're talking about intangibles, leadership qualities, just, you know, certain things. And I love the fact that he was talking about, you know, interceptions of the story and talking about this. And then he was going through all these quarterbacks and he was talking about getting the ball batted down. And he had a session and he was talking to Russell Wilson. He's like, what's your thing? He's like, oh, you're short. And he was just grilling him. And it was amazing to see how he took these quarterbacks and said, you're going to be great. You're going to be good. So I think in a weird way, and I'm not saying that, you know, he's going to be Hall of Famer, but I think Deshaun Watson, there's certain things you can't teach him. I think he's going to be better than we expect, man. So, and that's, I know that sounds weird that he is obviously a first round pick or first, second, if you will, but you know, I'm in that camp, man. I think Deshaun's going to do something, man. So I'm actually in his corner, man. So I hope he does well. I know it's kind of weird to have him as a sleeper, if you will, but that's just a guy that, you know, I think that he's got a lot of intangibles. He's won some big games versus Alabama, you know, Florida State, Notre Dame. So you can't not count that against him, even Ohio State. And sorry about that,
Tech.
KQ, but yeah, Georgia Tech, yeah, that's not as big. But still, you know, he's played ball against some really big teams, man. But you know, but that's just me. So I'm thinking that, you know, don't pass on him too much, guys, because we could have another situation where, you know, I know we get like the third rounds where, you know, like the Dak Prescott's, but I also think that, you know, again, you can have a guy like I'm not saying he's Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, just be careful you pass on because, again, this guy's overcome a lot in his life, and I think he's going to be very focused on being successful. So that's me, and I'll let you do your draft recap. Go ahead, Rob. I'll let you kick that one off, sir, a sleeper that you've got, sir.
Well, you talk about sleepers. One of the guys that surprisingly has really been climbing draft boards when it comes to the quarterback position when you look at the middle rounds is Joshua Dobbs from Tennessee. And there's some prognosticators think he may even get into the third round. I don't have him in the third round yet. I probably still see him more as a fourth, fifth round guy. But he is a guy that is becoming more and more of a sleeper at the quarterback position in his draft. Another guy, probably more a little bit further down, fifth, sixth round, Chad Kelly. Is another guy who was ultra-talented, but the off-the-field concerns there. So he's another guy that you can look at when you talk about the quarterback position. My last pick of the third round, wide receiver from Louisiana Tech, Carlos Henderson. This guy's got great speed, obviously playing on the mid-major college level. A lot of people don't know him, but he could be a real sleeper in this draft. Some even may call him a poor man's Brandon Cook kind of player. So we shall see. Right now I have him going, like I said, the last pick of the third round to the New York Jets. Jake Butt, tight end from Michigan. Obviously some injury concerns a little bit, but I have him going in the third round to Tennessee, 100. Malachi Dupree, wide receiver from LSU. He's got the size. He's got the speed. Had a little bit of the drops these last year. But if he gets that together, right now I have him going 96 to New England to give them another weapon offensively. He could be a real steal in this draft as well. And also Ryan Anderson, outside linebacker from Alabama, have him going to Houston at 89 in this draft. Could be another steal as well, coming out of that Nick Saban system.
Keep an eye on the Cardinals and Deshaun Watson too. Go ahead, JQ, your sleepers.
Yeah, he took mine, man. I was going with Chad Kelly because he's an idiot. But that dude plays, and he has the requisite kind of irrational confidence that you need at quarterback. And when you see him play against Alabama multiple times where he balled out, I just don't know if he's going to make it, if he's going to get his attitude together. But the dude has all the talent. Like I said, he has the confidence. And I had other players. I just can't remember their name. Just the inside linebacker from Ohio, I think the Bobcats, Brown. Blair Brown. He's undersized, but he's one of those dudes that kind of has come on like Denzel from Miami, the Hurricanes, is playing for San Diego. He's undersized, but he's also just a wrecking ball, and he's in there, and I think somebody's going to get him and be really ecstatic. And then there's a wide receiver from Grambling that measures up to look a little smaller Corey Davis, but the same kind of height. I just can't remember his name. They're from Grambling. But, you know, he's an HBCU wide receiver, but I think somebody's going to get him in the fifth or sixth round and be pleasantly surprised. And he actually had a really good senior bowl.
It's funny you mentioned Blair Brown. I have him going in the third round, actually, to the Saints at 103.
See? I didn't even work.
Linebacker from Ohio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good call. All right. I love it, man. I love the interaction, guys, because it's good because we can go on. Like, we can literally do one show about all the draft sleepers right about now, too. So I'm glad we're able to get a couple of them in there. And like I said, I think it's going to be interesting. I can't wait till next week because we're going to see some players are going to move. And yeah, there's going to be some different targets, man. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. As we get ready to wrap up the NFL portion, let's talk about this really quick. Should Aaron Rodgers have more championships by now? Rob, your thoughts.
I know he's taking a little bit of heat about he's not delivering like Tom Brady, but I don't really think that's really fair, in my personal opinion. He had somewhat, these last 2 years have not been the best 2 years of his career, even though he did finish this particular season really strong, and he looked like the old Aaron Rodgers, but he's won a Super Bowl, so I don't really think it's fair to say, the Atlanta Falcons, he ran into a better quarterback in Matt Ryan this year. There have been other great quarterbacks in the NFC in the last few years. I mean, you've had Drew Brees, obviously. And then, of course, just Tom Brady's got Bill Belichick also. And I think a lot of people forget that. Not only does Tom Brady is a great quarterback, but he's got the greatest coach in the NFL, too, and maybe one of the greatest of all time. So I think it's unfair to really make that comparison from Aaron Rodgers to Tom Brady.
JQ, should Aaron Rodgers have more championships? And I mean, then, Mike wants a champ, Simon, on this, too, probably. Oh, go ahead, Rob, but you're finishing.
Then you have Seattle that's really had strong runs here for a few years as well with their defense and Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, of course, has been really good. Not as good as Aaron Rodgers, but he's been really good as well. So I still don't think it's a fair comparison.
JQ?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And Rob just touched on me. I almost went to where I was going to go. All those teams you just talked about had a good defense. And you talk about Aaron Rodgers and you talk about Drew Brees. All these years they were prolific offensive passers and had a good offense. Their defense was very suspect, and that's ultimately what got them knocked out of the playoffs. So as good as a quarterback as you can be, if your defense is the seed, then it doesn't matter. And you guys, okay, you talk about Tom Brady, yeah, he's a good quarterback, but has he been the benefit of Brewski and all the other defensive players
definitely.
They also have had on the championship team? He's very much so had the benefit of that. So you have to have a little bit of balance. But, of course, it's the NFL and the quarterbacks get all the glory. But I can't say that for Aaron Rodgers because I just don't feel like he's had that caliber of defense. And that's sustained.
Gotcha. Yep. All right. Good call, man. Good calls, man. Like I said, no one's crying for Aaron Rodgers, man, or any of me. So it's all good, man. So I'm sure – what does Mike say in the back there, JQ? Is he just kind of adding on what you're talking about, too?
Hold on, real fast. Here comes Mike. The last time we talked,
Magic Mike says, "All I need in this life is sin, is me and my girlfriend."
Oh wow! Okay.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Thanks for that commercial break, Mike.
420 day. Happy 420 day to Mike too. All right, gentlemen, we are switching gears. We got about 5 minutes in the show, guys. So we got to get through a lot of stuff here. We got an OT portion here. What a great NBA finals here. I want to touch base on Russell Westbrook, Rob. Stay tuned to this, man. He made history, but then obviously he cost the Thunder the chance at winning the series. So give us your thoughts about this, Rob.
Well, I mean, obviously last night, what, he put up 51 points, was
yep.
12 rebounds, something along those
mm-hmm.
lines.
Yeah.
First player in NBA playoff history to put up 50 points in a triple-double. But in the second half, I mean, obviously they were up by 6 points at the half, 68-62. But in the second half, it just took so many ill-advised shots, left so many teammates wide open and not passing the ball to them. Obviously, shooting percentage went in the tank in the second half. And I think it really cost his team. I think they had an opportunity to win that game if you'd have played the same way he played in the first half. And countless guys was left wide open and even passing the basketball. I think he went back to playing selfish basketball on last night. And I think Kevin Durant was probably somewhere laughing while he's watching that game because I think he was probably thinking that's why he left. it really cost him. That basketball game, he really went to selfish mentality and cost him the opportunity to tie that series up against the Rockets.
I'm going to do it myself, Rob. I'm going to do it myself. JQ.
Yeah.
But he's not doing it because he's down 0-2.
I'm kidding.
You know what I think also happened? What I also think happened is that that point of Rob, what he just laid out, is the truth. But I think a part of it is
yeah.
I think he lost confidence in him. And I think he said, okay, I got to do this by myself. And there's a really thin line you got to toe when you're Russell Westbrook of getting everybody involved and then picking and choosing your spots to take over a basketball
yeah.
game. And I'm not in the huddle with him. I don't know if he's reading their body language, but it just feels like he just felt like they weren't those guys. They weren't those dogs in the second half that he needed them to be, so he put it on his shoulders. And some of that could be arrogance and being Russell saying, you know, I'm me and I got to prove that I can be hard and get this MVP. But I think that a piece of it could also be that he just looked at them in the huddle and was on the bench and was like, these dudes ain't going to bring this home. If we're going to win this game, I got to bring it home. And if he don't go 4-for-16 in the fourth quarter, if he goes 9-for-16 and they win, then and he gets 60 in the triple-double, then he's everybody's hero. So I think it's a little bit of both of that. I can't speak to how he felt about how those dudes were reacting to him on the bench.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, man. It's tough because, you know, maybe he is looking in the huddle at his guys. But, you know, as Rob mentioned, man, you just can't like, not include your teammates, man. Because, I mean, I hate to be, like, bashing, like, Kobe, like, you know, but it's just one of those things where you got to get everyone involved, man. I wasn't bashing. I gave you a disclaimer. But like I said,
you got a man crush on Kobe, man. Be careful.
That's your boy.
Hey, you know, I'm a Laker fan. Stop that.
But I'm saying, I'm trying to make a point in that. You know, you can be so much, and you start alienating teammates, and you know, then you lose the chemistry, and it's like, man, because it doesn't matter how many. If I'm averaging triple doubles, my team loses. That don't mean squat. And yes, Russell Westbrook, he did everything he could to get the team there, but you still need a team. I've never had one player, like, you know, just be like the you know, I don't know, Michael Jordan of the days. I mean, he did his stuff, but he still needed help. So, you know, he still needed Scotty. So, anyway, Rob, we got 2 minutes. Wrap it up, sir. Get ready to do the OT portion, and we'll go there. We got a minute 37.
Next week, people, we're going to be on the air on Wednesday night. It'll be the night before the NFL draft. The night before the NFL draft, we'll be on Wednesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha, it'll be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time on next week. So you don't want to miss us. It'll be our last pre-coverage of the mock draft. And, of course, we'll keep you posted on everything that's happening with the NBA playoffs, so you don't want to miss us on next Wednesday night. We're getting ready to go to our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link tomorrow, and we got some more NBA basketball we're going to be talking here in the next 15 minutes. Good night, people.
JQ.
Go Chargers. I got to do it. I love it. Arnold's the best. Hey, appreciate
Los
all y'all
Angeles
for
Chargers,
man. Man, that's not who they are. They're just in transit. Appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast. I'll see you next Wednesday. I'm going to talk a little bit more junk before we get out there in the OT portion.
What's up? Congrats to JQ on the G-Bray stuff, too, man. That's what's up, man. A lot of love, man.
Appreciate
so we're just keeping it real. We're doing our thing, man.
Yeah.
All right. As we wrap up the OT portion here, Interesting topic here, and we're talking about putting together a starting five from the other Western Conference playoff teams to beat the Warriors. I'm not sure why you got this in here, Rob, so I'm going to let you lead this off, bro. So it's all good, man. Do your thing, man.
Well, it became apparent to me that when you look at the Warriors starting five, it's not, even if you put the best in the rest of the Western Conference, I think the Warriors will still be almost a favorite. And which is unreal. And you got Kevin Durant, obviously, if he's healthy, and you got Steph Curry. So the team I came up with, obviously, was Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge at forward, Marc Gasol at center, and Russell Westbrook and James Harden in the backcourt. And so Chris Paul was a tough cut, because I thought about going small and going with Paul, Westbrook, and Harden and getting rid of LaMarcus Aldridge and you go with Kawhi Leonard and Gasol. But that would be, I think, my starting five. So Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, C.J. McCollum, those guys missed the cut.
That's
you
tough,
are
too.
Crazy.
I mean, that's tough. Go ahead, J.Q. That's tough.
First of all, there are two things that I'm going to disagree with Rob. So anybody stay tuned to the OT portion. We're doing so much agreement about our NFL teams. I'm going to disagree. The All-Star team from the West will beat them. I would keep the same ones that he just came with, but I would substitute LaMarcus Aldridge for Karl Anthony Towns. And that team.
No, I said playoff teams.
playoff teams. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to do playoffs. I'm just going to go where I want to go with. How about that? But even if you do LaMarcus Aldridge, I still feel like they win. If I think about it a little more, I can find somebody.
I didn't say they wouldn't.
Aldridge.
I just say that it will still be competitive is basically what I was saying.
Well, this is who I got. I take LaMarcus Aldridge off the team, and I put a healthy Gobert on that team. So now I can score and I can defend the paint. And it's going to be hard for Draymond Green to operate down there with Gobert. I think that team beats the Warriors. I think they sweep the Warriors.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think I want any part of this nonsense. But I would say I think I'd probably put, even though he may be playing out of position, I would put LaMarcus Aldridge, let him play center, if you will. And then, you know, maybe I can, you know, do like a combo guard and maybe put Westbrook at the small. I know it's kind of crazy, you know, kind of switch off and maybe put it's kind of, I got some more lineups in my head too, but, you know, I don't know. I got to put, you know, Damian Lillard on there somewhere too, man. But that's just me, man. That's just kind of crazy.
Defense,
but
you can't.
Harden play the. Oh, I don't know. It's good. It's a good call, man. It's just one of those things. But
three players for sure that will be on my team will be Kawhi Leonard, Westbrook, and Harden, because all three of those guys will be MVP candidates.
No question.
I mean, like I said, it's crazy. You know, Leonard's doing nuts, man. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about Rob. I want to hold off on the five greatest upsets because I want to talk about the Bulls, man, and just what a great. Game that has been in addition to Milwaukee, even though they are, and I'm saying great game because obviously condolences go out to Isaiah Thomas and his family and his sister and Dan Rooney and their family because there's a lot of we had some challenges last week too, but this is a series that it's all about matchups as you guys know, and right now I'm gonna let you guys talk about this, but I think I'll talk about this. There's an article in ESPN Magazine that talked about Rajon Rondo and how he just did not get along with was it Rick Barnes? Is that the coach of the – am I thinking the name correctly? Is that the guy that's coaching the Mavericks? I'm losing
Rick
his name.
Carlisle.
Probably not the right.
Rick Carlisle.
I was right. So
– Rick Barnes in Texas.
I know. I'm thinking of somebody else. Yeah, so thank you. So how they were just like just clashing, and clearly – there's a great article because it talked about how intelligent Rajon Rondo was, just the fact that how he was with Boston, how he, how the veterans were able to help. It was an interesting article, and it was talking about that's the reason why he didn't respect Carlisle, because the fact that he was trying to, like, put him in a box, and he kind of, like, rebelled, but he's a very talented guy, and it was just talking about how his intelligence, his basketball IQ and whatnot. And I think this is coming into play right about now, guys, in that, you got a squad of, of Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, and his, definitely passes, not total prime, but, you know, they are just doing it on the Celtics. And you're looking at Rondo, he's making some plays, and this guy, like I said, it's just – It just shows you the experience and how you've given the game plan. This dude is like lighting it up, man. So, you know, I'm not saying they're going to go all the way to the finals, but they're definitely, this is a squad that's knocking out the number, I think they're going to knock out the number one seed, and I don't think that was expected, but you got to give a lot of credit to Rondo and the fact that, you know, all that fun stuff too. That's me, but go ahead, man. Your thoughts, JQ, since you're jumping in there.
Sorry, my bad. Yeah, the Rondo's a head case, though, and everybody knows he's a head case. He has to be in a structured environment. And you remember, he challenged D-Wade's statement about how the young guys in the locker room weren't doing what they were supposed to do. And Rondo challenged that and said, well, our best is just to lead and not go to the media, something to that effect. So they've had this kind of brewing, but they've kind of organically grown into that team. And did Cleveland know something? Like, hey, I know D-Wade. Now, they're from the A-seed. I want no part of that. We will let Boston have that one seed and take this two seed versus a dysfunctional Indiana Pacers team with Paul George criticizing everybody. I mean, they're looking like geniuses right now, but I got to give Rob a lot of credit. He said that the Bulls will give the Celtics problems, and we poo-pooed it because we have Rondo being who Rondo has been in terms of malcontent and being a head case, but it's something to be said for gelling at the right time and moving upward in the way you're playing as opposed to being, you know, level or going down. And I think you're right. I think they are going to knock off the Celtics, which I did not see coming.
I don't think he's a malcontent. I'm going to come up and I'm going to let Rob talk too. I'm not saying he's a malcontent. No, he's not. I think he's misunderstood. And that's the thing, because if you got – bruh, I'm telling you, like I said, I mean, you got people that are – we can agree to disagree because, you know, we're not in the locker. We don't know him personally. You know, yeah, what we can put out there. But this dude, he could be a basketball junkie. We don't know anything about it. He just, like, loves the game so much. I mean, I'm not trying to defend him. I'm just saying I think he is misunderstood. And that's maybe he appreciates that. But this dude, you cannot deny this guy has a huge basketball IQ. And the fact that, I mean, him, whenever he was on the Celtics with Kevin Garnett, and, I mean, that squad, he grew up in front of our eyes. Everyone was like, man, Rondo is a man. And obviously it led to other dysfunctional situations. But, you know, hey, that wasn't the first again. Maybe he needs structure, like you said. But this guy, I really do think that, you know, you put him in the right environment. And, gosh, I hate even bringing this up. It's kind of like the Christian Leitner thing. He's like, hey, you can either, like, use him to be the fire, or you can, you know, if he's fire, he can burn down the building, or he can be used to heat the building. So you got to figure out the right way how to tweak this guy, man. So, you know, whatever it is, I don't know. I'm not even, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying that's my two cents. I really do think that, again, you know, Rondo is – he's more than – kind of more than meets the eye, if you will. So that's my little two cents. Rob, your thoughts, and we'll talk about some upsets here. So go ahead, sir.
Yeah, the Bulls are playing extremely well at the end of the regular season, quietly. I don't know if a lot of people around the country even realized it, but they were really gelling, even without Dwayne Wade. And Jimmy Butler was touring the country, putting on a show. Rondo was coming back to his old form. But even the role players was really stepping up. Bobby Portis really shooting the ball very well. And so they had they have a lot of players. And their rotation has really stepped it up. And did I think they would beat the Celtics? No, but I figured this was going to be a seven-game series. I thought the Bulls would definitely take the Celtics the seven games. Obviously, I think the Bulls are going to win the series now. They won two games on the road. And Andre also, of course, talked about the situation with Isaiah Thomas. So that's got to be a big blow to the Celtics. But even prior to that situation, I really thought the Bulls would really challenge them and match up well with them. And I thought the Celtics would lose in the second round to the Wizards. This could be a sweep, or it could be something like a 4-1. Celtics might find a way to come back and win two games. You never know. But I do think the Bulls will win this series. And Andre mentioned the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, those guys, everybody on that team, arms go past their knees.
Long. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then lanky dude.
Woo.
Yeah, yeah, Don Baker. Man, his guy, his rookie, has really stepped up his game. And Giannis and the Kimbo, the Greek freak.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Middleton.
Yeah.
Middleton, too.
Yeah, Middleton shooting the basketball. extremely well. Malcolm Brogdon, of course, has been a steal this season. So this team has got a really good bright future. And they don't even have Jabari Parker.
They're still young. That's scary.
And so how scary that could be if they can ever get him healthy and back. And this is a team of the future in the Eastern Conference. They look really good. And it should be a real intriguing second-round matchup between Milwaukee and Cleveland. And seeing Giannis and LeBron James go head-to-head in the second round.
Future right there. Mm-hmm. He's the future right there. He may be like the best player to coming up, bro. I think that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. If he gets his game together, man. We got 5 minutes. Rob, if you don't mind, go over the five upsets. Top five, go ahead.
Well, obviously, it was the main reason we were talking about this, because it looked like the Bulls, as the 8 seed, is going to beat the 1 seed, Boston Celtics. But just some historical upsets in the first round. A lot of you all may not remember this, but 1994, unseeded Laurie McNeil upset number 1 seed Steffi Graf in women's tennis in Wimbledon. Mm. In 1996, Pete Carrell's Princeton team beat the defending UCLA champions 43-41 in the first round.
Yes,
a little hockey for you. Number 8 seed San Jose Sharks beat the mighty Detroit Red Wings in 7 games, also in 1994. A lot of upsets in 1994. In 1989, Richmond, the first 15 seed to win an NCAA tournament, beat Syracuse. Yes. In 1994, again, three of these. In 1994, the first number 8 seed to be the number 1 seed in the NBA, Dikembe Mutombo wagging that finger, screaming on the ground. The Denver Nuggets beat the Seattle Sonics with George Karl, Gary Payton, Sean Kemp, Nate McMillan. Upset those guys from an 8 seed over a 1 seed.
Right. It's like, you bring back the memories. Eddie Johnson also for that Seattle team.
Yeah.
I can't argue with any of those. Yeah, I remember. Outside of Steffi Graf, I didn't remember that one. Well, I remember the San Jose one and the basketball ones. That's pretty good there, Rob. That's a good five.
Excellent. He was waiting for that. Good job pulling that out, Rob. That was a pretty good trip down memory lane there too, man. But what was happening in 94, man, that's nuts right there, man. But
three of those in 1994.
A lot of things happened that year, man. So you were like watching your back. Everyone was probably playing tight, I think. Anyway, guys, we got 3 minutes here. Let's continue to wrap us up here. I just want to give a quick shout out here as far as I think we did an update on the playoffs. I think we're good. I don't know if you want to talk about the Eastern side here. Obviously Washington did their thing. They looked like they're on their roll. Like we talked about Cleveland, I know they're doing their thing. Squad, I'm going to talk about it really quick. We got about a minute for both of you guys if you want to talk about that really quickly. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, obviously Cleveland, a big-time comeback tonight, down 26 points and to go up 3-0. I think it's safe to say that we're going to see Cleveland and Milwaukee that we talked about, and we're going to see Washington in Chicago. I still expect the Washington. I think Milwaukee is going to challenge Cleveland, but I still expect the Cleveland and Washington Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, Golden State, I think, is well on their way to a sweep. I thought the Spurs would beat the Grizzlies in a sweep, but it looked like the Grizzlies are going to win tonight. They're up by 20, but about 4 minutes to go. But I still expect the Spurs to win that series. I still expect the Warriors to definitely win the Western Conference. That's the bottom line. And Houston, OKC, I do think OKC wins one game in the series, but I think Houston wins in five. I thought initially it would be a little bit more competitive, but I think Houston wins this series in 5 games. The Utah situation with Rudy Gobert is just so hard to make a prediction, not knowing what his situation is. He may not play the remaining of this series. I think the Clippers are going to come out and win this series, definitely if he's not going to play the remaining of the series. But it's a pretty, in my opinion, safe bet the Warriors will be representing the West.
30 seconds, Shaky.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going with Rob just said because I agree with all of that. Appreciate y'all for downloading in, listening to our OT portion. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night. I can't argue with what Rob just said. That's a pretty good synopsis of the playoffs right now. I would agree with that.
Yeah, 30 seconds, Rob. Wrap up the show, man.
Next week, you don't want to miss us Wednesday night. Our final pre-draft show, and also, of course, keeping you updated on what's happening in the NBA playoff world. Good night, people. Join us on next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Shout out to Serena, 2 months pregnant, still putting it down. Well, that's craziness, man. So, yeah,
yeah,
good call, man.
Yeah.
Way to wrap it up. We'll see you
guys.
Is
that bigger than Michael Jordan's flu performance?
Yeah, she's pregnant.
Well, yeah.
What?
Okay, women. Yeah, okay. I thought you were going to say something else. Yeah.
I was about to say, man,
you're going to
get us.